Good morning, good evening, good coding campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good times. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
Thank you, Eric, and I want to welcome everyone back to another Valentine's Day edition of MSDN Radio. It's hard to believe it's already 2011, and we've got just tons of stuff going on in the technology world. This morning at the Mobile World Congress, Steve Ballmer was talking about IE9 going to the mobile space, so you can find out all kinds of great stuff about what's new and happening just by going out to msdn.microsoft.com and checking out the news. Lots of stuff to talk about this week. We've got conferences coming up and all kinds of just general things to see. If you want to know what's going on, well, you just need to follow our guest, which is Tim Huckabee, because he's going to be at MIX 2011 out in Las Vegas. He's going to be doing Tech Ed. He's going to be at Dev Connections. He's going to be just about everywhere. Tim, how you doing?
Excellent. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
It's a beautiful sunny day here in Minneapolis. I know that you're probably jealous because you'd like to come and see the snow.
Yeah, I'm devastated because here in Carlsbad, California, it's 80 degrees and sunny at the beach.
Again. And you have to work?
Yeah, but I got to work today.
Yeah, you should be able to take it.
Short of this.
Right? So how you doing, Tim?
Excellent. Exciting times, without a doubt.
Yeah, what's new in the technology world that has got you paying attention?
Well, as you just mentioned, my current focus, and I don't know if it's on topic, but I've got to write an editorial for Silverlight and Windows Phone 7. So I watched with curiosity at all the announcements that Steve Ballmer made in Barcelona at the Mobile World Congress, and I'm quite encouraged. You know, I've been using Windows Phone 7 for a long time, long in technology terms, you know, probably a year. I had a prototype, and now I have a production device, and, you know, like many of the folks who are using and loving the Windows Phone 7, we want more, right? We're never satisfied. And he made some pretty encouraging announcements and some public statements that, I'm pleasantly surprised by.
Yeah, well, I was looking at that, too, and, you know, some of the highlights are, you know, talking about the just the HTML. You know, the 5 is part of the IE9 experience. Now, how much is that going to be integrated into phone and all of that? It's just going to be an interesting platform to follow.
Well, yeah, and that, you know, we could do this entire show on the implications of a true implementation of IE9 on the Windows Phone 7 with parity to the major browser, which means I assume we can draw conclusions that we're going to get a beautiful implementation of HTML5 in that browser on the phone, which brings up the age-old Silverlight thing. You know, is it Silverlight? Is it HTML5? Is it both? You know, this is the type of stuff that's argued in bars and not done on MSDN radio, but it does raise an eyebrow. You know, clearly we want more and better and faster and all that, but, you know, the demarcation lines are very fuzzy right now.
Yeah. Well, I still think it's almost like when I was talking to my dad about, you know, he says, well, should we do this in SharePoint or should we do it in Silverlight? And I'm like, yeah, that's not even apples to apples. It's like apples to basket. You know?
Your dad knows what SharePoint is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. My dad couldn't tell you what I do professionally.
Well, you know, sometimes you get some interesting Thanksgiving conversations.
Yeah, in your house. My parents and my whole entire family are all English teachers, so the discussion is much different.
But
nonetheless, you know, along at Mobile World Congress, you know, the IE9 thing's huge. I think that caught me by surprise, and very few things that come from Microsoft catch me by surprise anymore. Some of the other encouraging things are admitting that we're going to get the phone on different providers, cell phone providers, in a timely manner. That to me is personally exciting. You know, it really does depend on where you live in the U.S. and where you live in the world. But I do live in Verizon country.
In Verizon land, huh?
Yeah. Qualcomm is in our backyard.
Right.
You know, that their world headquarters. In fact, the Verizon signal at Qualcomm, the data signal, people laugh at because it truly is broadband. It's better than the rest of the world. So with that, I'm pretty excited about. You know, we're going to get a service pack on the Windows Phone 7 pretty soon here, I'm told, by people like you. we're all waiting. But there are some features that Steve Ballmer announced that are, frankly, quite exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it shows that there's a almost a rhythm of technology, you know, releases that are just, you know, it's like you look back and say, you know, a lot of times when we talked at Bytes by MSDN, you and I sat down, was it last year at TechEd?
Oh, don't make me do that.
Oh.
and it was TechEd or it was...
It was
one of those things.
It was New Orleans, and it was swelteringly like 108 degrees outside, and you know, came in, and we sat down, we had our chat, and we talked about I think it was Silverlight, and then they were talking a little bit about what the phone would be, you know, and now it's like, okay, everyone is seen the release of it. We've seen the merging of technology. When you're building out and looking at, you know, natural user interface, which I think is what you call NUI. Or is that the right acronym?
Well, yeah, and it's no longer a new acronym, but at the time that I became fascinated with it, it was. That's currently my focus.
So how do you work with unnatural user interface, or do you just try to like show the differences?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know what we call what you would call unnatural, and I would agree with you. In fact, unnatural nowadays would be, you know, some type of keyboard implementations where you really don't need a keyboard. You know, I tell this story. I'm old enough that I was around and using computers and programming quite heavily when the mouse came out. And we fought it. You know, it wasn't natural to get take your right hand off the keyboard and reach for this thing. It just was not natural. You know, I predate Windows, and I predate the Macintosh, right? I was writing ALC and JCL to manage memory for my COBOL program.
Right.
So I remember fighting this interface and you know, speculating, ah, this thing's never going to go anywhere, because I'm a machine gun on the keyboard. Why would I need a mouse? And now, God, it's so much part of our technology culture. It's just part of the deal, right? Well, I am speculating, and I could be wrong, but I'm speculating that we, not only will we be putting our hands on the screen, and we're doing that now. You know, Windows 7 gave us that. And there's a huge learning curve to that. Rocky Laca, if you haven't had him on the show yet, you need to get him on the show. But we joke about how, you know, we now, because we're natural user interface type of guys, we sit in front of computers that don't have multi-touch capability, and we touch them, and they don't do anything, and you get frustrated, right? You know, but I maintain that you know, it's not going to cover all usability scenarios. There are many, many, many places, and always will be, where the keyboard, at least in this decade, where the keyboard makes sense to enter data. But you know, in some of these content-consuming applications where you're not typing a ton, it makes total sense to put your hands on the screen. Now, if you draw it farther, you get into that Kinect type thing.
Right.
You know, that's where you're using your hands, and you're using these gestures that are becoming common, but you're not touching the screen. In fact, you might be 20 feet away from the screen. And I am totally convinced that interfaces – in the natural user interface spectrum, like gesture-based systems that Kinect is going to facilitate, it's going to be the next genre of software. And that makes total sense in a number of use cases. So that in itself is pretty exciting. And, you know, the keynotes and a lot of the work we do, the keynotes that I do are all around this natural user interface and speculating about how we will interact with computers in the future.
So it's like technology. There's some technologies that you can't remember not having. Do you ever feel like that? Like push email? Remember when you could you know, leave home and you'd have your cell phone, but it's not like you'd be getting mail on it.
Right, exactly.
Someone would actually have to know your number.
I cannot remember when I didn't have email.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I've been working for with Microsoft so long, that used to be the only way we communicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wouldn't talk to each other. We'd send emails to each other, you know,
yeah,
from 10 feet away. That was that first genre of, it wasn't really a genre, I guess we could call it an era or a stage of electronic communications.
Early social networking, right?
Well, yeah, what would that be, like mid-90s?
Yeah.
Mid-90s, I guess, yeah. So,
yeah.
Which is right around when I worked on a server team at Microsoft, on a product team.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember vividly my boss saying to me, you know, I was... you know, I worked for some of the most brilliant engineers in Microsoft, who are still there, by the way, many of them. But I remember my boss saying, stop emailing them.
Mm-hmm.
Get up, walk out the door to the next building, and in this case it was the IAS team, and go talk to them. And I remember thinking, like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, I bet that is going to be a lot more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how times have changed.
That's all they can do. I mean, it's like, Well, do you think that the gestures on the phone? I was in at my kid's school, and they've got these smart board things up on the wall. And it's like I walked up to it, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then I went and put two fingers down and went to make things bigger. And it's only got one point of contact. And I'm like, how old is this?
Right. Single-touch devices, which gets into the usability thing again. Mm-hmm. You know, like me and Rocky putting our hands on the screen and expecting some type of appropriate reaction and not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the world I live in now is either all multi-touch, where, you know, let's face it, Apple made the pinch gesture famous, so we can give them credit for that, but it's all pinch gesturable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, you know, you're waving your hands or your fingers at the Kinect,
mm-hmm,
which is ultimately just a 3D camera.
Now, the Kinect is a pretty cool piece of technology.
We could argue that that is one of the coolest technologies to make it out of research.
Right.
You know, me and you both know that some of the most awesomes of things in the world live in Microsoft research and just never make it to the market because they don't really have a consumer play yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Kinect, without a doubt, is one of the most exciting things for me and at the same time one of the most frustrating. And let me tell you why. When I got visibility of the Kinect, let's just assume it was significantly earlier than, you know, public announcements. And my immediate thought was, awesome. Forget the shoot 'em up games. Forget the Xbox. I want this thing in Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And many mm-hmm .NET people like me and you said
mm-hmm
the exact same thing. You know, I don't want to build software for Xbox. I don't know how to do that. Nor do I want to shoot people up by waving at a screen. You know, my teenagers do, but I
right
don't. Right? I want to build software because this clearly is the next generation of user interfaces. You know, and then the sobering announcements came out that, and frankly, with talking to the Kinect team, like, it was basically, hey, we have no plans to do anything but games, you know, for a good while. And that was very frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Some geniuses, some scientists, some creative .NET people figured out that you could actually code to the USB interface for the thing, and they started plugging their Kinect devices into their PCs and building little proofs of concept,
mm-hmm,
right? And you see them, what's the website? Kinecthacks.org.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fascinated with Kinect and you're listening in, definitely stumble into kinecthacks.org. And it's not really a hack. They're just not coding to a native interface. You know, they're coding to the USB port. And there's some open source stuff. And you can do some rudimentary things. And at Internology in you know, my one company, and then at Active Software, the other company, we're doing this stuff. But we are fully planning on a Windows driver.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute, without a doubt. We are planning for that Kinect team to give us a Windows driver. We can all speculate, you know, when that might be, but it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time. You know, that Xbox team has a huge jump, 2-year jump,
yeah,
on the rest of its competition, and it would make sense. And I'm hoping the Kinect team is listening. It would make sense, and the Windows team, to integrate that. But the good news is you can do some stuff right now. Mm-hmm. And at Internology and Enactus, we have. And, in fact, we're building a Windows interface, generic. Actually, let's call it this. Let's call it a WPF and a Silverlight interface for all our WPF and Silverlight software, generic enough so that you can manipulate all of our software.
Mm-hmm.
With the Kinect, and that includes the cool 3D stuff and everything. And the proofs of concept that are coming out from the guys and gals, I mean, they're awesome. They're mind-boggling cool. And suffice it to say, I'll be demoing a bunch of this stuff at the conferences and the keynotes that mm-hmm. I'm doing over the next few months.
Now
the exciting times,
yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you think about the changes, you know, going to the mouse from a keyboard and the VT100 to, you know, something that they could actually process and use the CPU, all the way up to the phone starting to take advantage of things. There's a lot of interesting things going on.
Yeah, and it's all around the way we use software. Let's say the last decade was about features and functionality of software
mm-hmm.
and architecture to a certain point,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting the plumbing in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we've switched. And again, I didn't really believe it till I saw it when Microsoft started telling us, I don't know, 3-4 years ago that, we were going to start paying attention to design
mm-hmm.
and these grossly overpaid black turtleneck artist types. We're going to start paying attention to them. And, oh, man, you work with one of those people and you understand why they're so well paid. You know, there is nothing like a great designer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now if we integrate, if we give visibility of some of these ways that we can interact with computers, like the Kinect,
mm-hmm.
or by touching the screen to these designers, we're going to build some compelling software over the next few years.
It's going to be something that's definitely interesting.
Oh, God, yeah. That spans all industries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a dream, and
what
I may die homeless and penniless doing it, but I have a dream of some philanthropy-type projects,
mm-hmm.
you know, and one of which is there's millions of people around the world who are physically handicapped but not mentally handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, multiple sclerosis, for instance, that disease takes people's ability to function quickly, but not their brains.
Yeah.
Right? There's paraplegics. There's quadriplegics, all totally sound of mind, very smart people, some of which I know at Microsoft, some brilliant people,
mm-hmm.
that just have no control over their bodies. Can you imagine giving them an interface to computers that makes them productive? Imagine giving them just like a Facebook-type thing
yeah.
where they could communicate. And with some of these technologies, this is doable stuff. I mean, that's my dream. I want to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Internology and Actus software, we built a ton of business software, and some of it's really cool and mm-hmm. compelling, and it makes it in keynote demos. But, you know, how awesome would it be to do, you know, something, you know, that helps humanity like that? That's my dream.
That's giving back. That's taking the...
Well, it's more than that. I mean, it's even selfish if you think about it. I'm selfish because I think that would be the most awesome piece of software you could ever build.
Uh-huh.
That could help so many people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyways.
You mentioned Internology and Actus software. What is
yeah.
that?
Yeah, okay. So Internology, especially in the .NET ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
even worldwide, people are familiar with that name and that company. That's truly a custom app dev software company. Everything's a one-off.
So you build a line of business app for this and that and the other
thing. Right. For most of the, a lion's share of the customers, including Microsoft itself, are
mm-hmm.
software companies. So Internology builds software for software companies. It also has customers, big and small, around the world, but it's all custom one-off type stuff.
Right.
You know, which is typical of a Microsoft Gold partner. I think they call them SIs or something like that. I casually mentioned I worked on a product team at Microsoft. You know, my roots are in products, and it's always been the Internology
mm-hmm.
plan to spin off a product company. That is what Actus is. Actus is producing a suite of licensable products. The first suite are in electronic digital signage and kiosk systems. Mm-hmm. The next suite are going to be I think we're going to bite off on some healthcare type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Suffice it to say, those products will be heavily cutting edge and will leverage the latest in natural user interface technologies. Without coming out and saying it, yeah, all these solutions, you'll be able to put both hands on the screen. And in some cases, with giant monitors, you know, 10 people will put 20 hands on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also be using the 3D cameras like the Kinect to manipulate all these interactive digital signage solutions,
mm-hmm.
the kiosk-type stuff, and healthcare-type stuff. So there's the difference. One's a product company, InterKnowledge's custom app dev company. I gave up my CEO role happily, mm-hmm. I might add. With intense joy, I gave up my CEO role in InterKnowledge about, I don't know, 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
To my number one, Emily Hirsch, and she has just done a darn good job running that company as CEO, and it's freed me up to do some of this wild stuff.
Just have fun and really dabble in different things.
Yeah, and not deal with, or as best I can, not deal with things that aren't software. You know, the CEO job's a lonely one sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with software sometimes.
Sometimes it's like, wow, I want to do that, and then other days it's like, been there, done that.
Clearly I have just brilliant people working in both orgs.
Mm-hmm.
And it is truly a pleasure to work with some of these engineers. But, yeah, there's a jealousy factor. You know, these guys show me some of the stuff they build, and I'm like, ah, I wish I was you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if only you had enough time in the day.
If I was talented enough to do that. But, yeah, without a doubt, we build some cool stuff, and we facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
The company facilitates. It's not free time. It's called recess.
Mm-hmm.
There's an acronym for what that stands for that I always forget.
Right.
I know I have this. Yeah, research and educational coding to enhance software skills. So we give the guys and gals 4 or 6 hours every week,
mm-hmm.
to do some R&D thing.
And
they can do whatever they want. And they do the most awesome proofs of concepts. It's kind of like our own little Microsoft Research.
Huh.
And so even if we're hot and heavy in a project, they dedicate this time without exception. It's every Wednesday at 1 o'clock or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have team meetings and some of the stuff they built. I mean, they built the casino game Craps,
mm-hmm.
on the Microsoft Surface.
Out
of this free time, and they integrated physical dice that have byte tags in them.
Uh-huh.
You roll the dice across the Microsoft Surface, and it recognizes what's on these acrylic dice. I mean, it's just amazing application. The entire game, it's not like.
It's all about.
I mean, you could put that in somebody's living room right now, and they can play Craps.
Well, hey Tim, we've got. This is a call-in show. People can ask questions. If they do dial in, just press the *8, and I know you've got a question. But there's someone that has a question that isn't able to dial in today. So I was going to ask it and see, your thoughts on this. And it's from Bill, and he's asking about the Windows Phone 7. You've been developing against it. You're familiar with it. His question has to do when his phone has those four little dots kind of going across the screen and doesn't seem like it finishes, like it starts to download and just seems like it takes a long time. Do you know if that's because there's just a lot of information coming back, or is that a bug that needs to be fixed?
I can tell you with 98% surety that is a provider issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing Bill has that provider that I'm using. We shove a lot of data up and down our
mm-hmm.
Our cell phones are more than telephones these
mm-hmm.
days. With email and video downloads and things like that.
And Marketplace, which just got...
Right. The usability Bill is talking about is almost like an hourglass. It's a wait-type screen. And especially when you go to that Marketplace, which seems to have, depending on your connection, And you know, in my world, I use AT&T, and there's a variety of levels of connection all the way up to 3G. It seems like there can be some significant latency. I think that's what Bill's talking about. I can tell you with 98% surety that is not a bug in the UI or in the Windows Phone 7 OS.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, software has bugs. Clearly, we have a few issues in Windows Phone 7, which are going to be fixed in the next couple, 3 weeks with
right,
that service pack.
All the bugs, right?
All the big ones. Like the funny thing is, I think it's funny, and this is in context to Bill's question. Well, I think Microsoft underestimated the marketplace. The one of the big bugs they're fixing is a simple search for the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do a search on, I don't know, what would be a good thing to search on? Even something like ESPN. If you searched on ESPN in the Windows Phone marketplace, you would get 10,000 results. You'd get 20 applications and 150 pieces of music and, you know, another 100 videos. Right, they grossly underestimated how much was going to make it to the Windows marketplace, in my speculation.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do a simple a fix to that. Did you know this? I heard some staggering stats, because I have to write this article I mentioned. Did you know more than 27,000 registered software developers have published more than 7,200 applications on the Windows Phone 7 marketplace? 7,200 Windows Phone apps.
How long has the marketplace been open?
Well, the announcement was a year ago today. The Windows Phone 7 is probably shipping since October. October, November, mm-hmm. So 4 months.
3 to 4 months.
In 4 months, they've put 7,200 applications into the marketplace, which created a bug. You can't search for apps. You know, I don't know about you, Mike, but I would have said, if someone had told me, oh, yeah, there'll be 7,500 apps in that marketplace in the first 6 months, I would have said, no freaking way. Not in a million years.
What kind of an ecosystem are you starting from?
Right? Yeah, it really is amazing, and we can speculate why. I personally think it's Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
Silverlight's so darn good. It hit the market at such a right time when the market needed it. Those geniuses on that Silverlight team versioned it 4 major times in 2.5 years.
And it's
just so powerful that it's got people that create apps for the Windows 7 phone marketplace. I just think that's a great story.
Mm-hmm. Well, between, you know, when you look at the phone, you say, okay, well, it's built on top of Xnate, it's built on top of Silverlight, take your pick. You know, I mean, that just, it just opens the door, and it makes it so easy to get started. You know.
Yeah, and yet people like me and you, if you would have asked us 4 months ago, 7,000 apps in the marketplace in 4 months?
No.
Both of us would have said, no way.
Still would have laughed.
No way.
Right.
Yeah, it is really an interesting success story. And as Microsoft and all those big announcements that Ballmer made today,
mm-hmm.
as they release features, and as more, frankly, more good devices make it into the market,
mm-hmm.
bigger, better, faster devices from all these providers, and then
what
the actual
innovative things the developers are coming up with.
Say that again for me, Mike.
I said each different manufacturer is coming up with their own take on how to really, you know, stretch the platform, too.
Exactly. It really is. You know, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought it'd be that phone could compete against, well, frankly, a BlackBerry that owns the enterprise, an Apple device that owns the consumer, and that Android device that seems to own the technology elite. Who would have thought that it could compete? But it's competing quite mm-hmm. nicely.
Well, hey, we got two more questions that came into the queue here. And one is from Bill asking again, you know, do you think that there's very many solo app developers that can make a decent amount of money in Windows Phone 7 marketplace? And, you know, what's the chance of that, you know, as compared to other platforms?
Great question. I'm not so sure I'm qualified to answer, but I can tell you this. I did a Windows Phone presentation, 9 months ago, a developer thing, you know, here's how easy it is to build a Windows Phone app in Florida at a user group.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email from one of the attendees just the other day that said, Tim, thank you so much for inspiring me, blah, 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 blah. I've now put 31 applications in the Windows Phone Marketplace, and I'm making a living off it. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. That's awesome.
That's
you know, you hear about these iPhone developers in the garage making all this money.
Mm-hmm.
But so, Bill, yeah, people are making money. You know, I don't know if if I was doing it personally, I don't know if I could get my kids through college at this point in time.
Yeah. Well,
but I've got 75 apps out there, and all the major providers coming on board, and all these new devices coming.
Mm-hmm.
One might speculate that there are going to be companies and people that are going to make quite a nice living off building Silverlight applications for the Windows Phone 7.
No doubt. Hey, one other question, and this is from Andre, and he's asking about obfuscation. Do you have any recommendations for an obfuscator for developers on Windows Phone 7?
That's the second time I've got that question in the last week, and
has
I haven't had a chance. Pardon?
Has Andre been hanging out with you?
Yeah, no, I haven't had a chance to ask the engineers at Internology yet. I understand that some of the big obfuscation partners that make this stuff have a Silverlight version that works. But in all honesty, I don't know. And at this current point in time, if you send me an email, I'll definitely find out for you.
And how can they send you an email?
Tim Hawk at internology.com, T-I-M-H-U-C-K at internology.com, internknowlogy.com.
And you're also on Twitter.
Well, yeah, you know, at my age, I'm not the biggest social networking guy in the world,
right.
But when I do a blog post, it goes to the Twitter and the Facebook thing, and I've got people figuring that out for me. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tim Huckabee is my Twitter.
That's great. Well, Tim, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's amazing how fast time goes. You're going to be at what's the next events you're going to be going to?
Well, we see we have a Mix, and we have a TechEd in June, and the Dev Connections is coming, and then Mobile and Cloud Connections. I'm doing the keynote at Dev Connections.
That's
in Orlando,
right? Which is warm.
Usually.
Warm.
TechEd's in Hotlanta, and I'm doing this great NUI session that I convinced them to let me do, and they were kind of excited about it, too. And, so I'll be around. Easy to find.
Sounds great. Well, if people want to go out and find out more information about all the events that are coming up, go out to msdn.microsoft.com. We got lots of stuff there. The events I'm going to be out at Dallas, flying down tomorrow, to do a Windows Azure boot camp, and then I know there's another one going on in Grand Rapids at the same time. There's Windows 7 boot camps. There's Silverlight and Windows 7 events going on, East Coast, West Coast. All of those events, you can find out what's near you by going out to msdnevents.com and checking it out. Well, that's all we got for this week. Tim, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
My pleasure, Mike.
And we're going to try to get you back on after Mix so that people can come back and ask more questions. Maybe April 25th, we'll confirm the date and get information posted up on msdnradio.com.
Awesome. That'll be fun.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and happy birthday, Tim.
Thank you, and thanks, everybody. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to msdnradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding!